Philippians 4:4. What's it say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 only has two words, rejoice evermore. Those are commands. But it's a choice. And as we see this passage, which, by the way, this is a passage that is a single passage, verses 6 to 9, it starts off talking about trials. And what God is teaching us, that even in the midst of trials, we can rejoice. We can have the joy of the Lord, that it's to be independent of our circumstances. But as we see, it is a decision, it is a choice. He talked there in verse 7 about the trial of your faith. He mentioned in verse 6 about manifold temptations. Manifold meaning many. And here in James chapter 1 verse 2, talking about the temptations, he says, my brethren, count it all what? Joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Is that really our response when a temptation comes into our life, to rejoice? Thank you, Lord. But God says it should be. Because God says it's good for you. In verse 12 of the same passage, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. It's a blessing when trials and temptations come into our lives, because it gives us an opportunity to rejoice. That God knows what He's doing and He's allowing this for our good. But that's not only true for temptations, it's also true for trials. Look in 1 Peter 4 now, if you would, quickly. Down to verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Notice what he says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And let's admit it, that's how we typically respond when a trial comes. Oh, this is strange. God says, don't consider it strange, because God had it planned out. God's allowing it for a reason. But look at the next verse, verse 13. But what? Rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So now we've been told that when temptations come, rejoice. When trials come, rejoice. Because we are being partakers of Christ's sufferings. We can say, thank you, Lord, that I get just a small taste of what Jesus went through on my behalf at Calvary. And you know what? When we get to heaven, we're not going to be walking on the streets of gold, talking to our brothers and sisters in the Lord and say, you know, those trials I had on earth, there were just too many of them. Or they weren't fair. Or God was mean. We're not going to say any of those things, are we? Instead, we're going to say, they were good for me. God knew exactly what He was doing. And we're going to rejoice. And we're told to rejoice down here because we're going to rejoice up there forever. But the first thing we see in this passage, it is a decision, it is a choice on our behalf to say, I am going to rejoice in the Lord no matter what comes my way. Another song that we sing, Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. We will. We're going to make a decision that this is God's day. God gave me yet another day on this earth, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. In Habakkuk chapter 3, if you're turning over there quickly, Habakkuk chapter 3, down to verse 17. I love this passage because in this passage, Habakkuk is basically saying everything's going wrong. Habakkuk 3:17, he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. In other words, everything is going wrong. Everything. Look what he says. Yet I will rejoice. It's a decision. It's a choice. Yes, circumstances come and go, and they're what we want and they're what we not want, and they're sometimes really heavy and fiery. That doesn't take away the joy that's in here. Amen? And so the first thing that we find in this passage is it's a choice to decide, like David, like Habakkuk, like many others in the Old Testament, like Paul, when he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always," he was sitting in prison, writing a letter to the Philippians. He was in the stocks, in the inner prison, with the rats running around on the floor. And he writes to Christians, "Rejoice in the Lord always." It is a choice to rejoice. And we all can do it. Jesus gave us some beautiful promises. But one of the things he said in John 16:22, he said, "Your joy no man taketh from you." And yet how many Christians today have allowed man, have allowed sin to steal their joy? It happened to David after his sin with Bathsheba. After he got caught out by Nathan and then was punished by losing his child. You know what he prayed in Psalm 51, verse 12? "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, I've lost my joy." Why? Because of sin. And nothing steals our joy like sin. And if we're living in sin, if we're backslidden, if we're not right with God, we don't have the joy of the Lord. We need to, like David, get on our knees. We need to repent. And we need to say, "Lord, please restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Don't allow others. Don't allow bitterness. Don't allow unforgiveness. Don't allow someone who's wronged you to steal your joy. But it happens. We can choose to rejoice in the Lord. And that's the first thing that we see here in this passage. Even when we're in trials, even when we're in temptations, we can choose to rejoice. The second thing we see back in our passage, 1 Peter 1, look at verse 8. He says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing." And what we see is that rejoicing is an act of faith in the one that we love and that we trust, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I would say that God makes it very clear in this passage that we have not seen Jesus. Amen? "Whom having not seen, in whom though now you see him not." And yet there's so many Christians today that claim that they've seen Jesus. He showed up in their bedroom and whatever. Well, this says we haven't seen him. And he makes it very clear. He says it twice. You've never seen Jesus yet in the flesh, and you won't until you meet him in the clouds or meet him in heaven. But until that day comes, God says, even though you've not seen him, you love him. Even though you've not seen him, you believe him. And if you're here this morning, you're born again, you can say those things. I've not seen Jesus, but I love him. I've not seen Jesus, but I believe on him. You wouldn't be saved if you hadn't. And so what we see is our faith and our love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does Jesus ever change? No. The Bible says the same yesterday and today and forever. So if Jesus never changes, go to John chapter 15, if you would, verse 11. If Jesus never changes, then when we choose to love and trust him, God says that is one of the sources of our joy, is that we are loving and trusting the one who never changes, the one who never leaves us nor forsakes us. And that's an act of faith. I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. And because of that, I have joy. Notice John 15:11. Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Isn't that good? I came to bring you joy, Jesus said. Look over in chapter 16, verse 22 of John. While you're in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 22. "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Look at verse 24. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, we talked about loving and trusting Jesus Christ. Part of that is getting our prayers answered, isn't it? And when he answers our prayers, he's saying, that's something to rejoice in. God is hearing my prayers. God is answering my prayers. The one that I love, the one that I trust, the Lord Jesus Christ, he never changes. He watches over me. He's with me no matter what. He answers my prayers. I'm going to rejoice. And so not only is it a choice to rejoice, but as we see here, number two, we rejoice because of who we have trusted, who we love, and that's Jesus, who's always good to us, always watching out for us, never leaves us nor forsakes us, and one day we will spend forever with him in heaven. Number three, verse 8. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, we just sang that in the chorus of our hymn. Full of glory. And I think what this is showing is not only do we rejoice because of who Jesus is, that we've trusted him and we love him, but we also can rejoice because of the glory of God, which again, never changes. You know, the Bible says that whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We're here to bring him glory. We talked about this a few Sundays ago. And I believe that the more time we spend getting closer to God and experiencing his glory, the more we can't help but rejoice in him and who he is. Let me give you some examples. Go to Psalm 16, verse 11. This is an example from the life of David. Psalm 16, verse 11. And look what David says here about joy. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Isn't that good? In thy presence. The more time we spend in the presence of God, the more joy we're going to find. As David said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Another example, Psalm 71, verse 23. The first one was about our spending time with God. The second one is about when we worship the Lord. When we come to church on Sunday morning and we open that hymnal and we start singing praises, we're not singing to one another, we're singing to him. As we lift him up and bring him glory, you know what that should do? It should rejoice our hearts. Psalm 71, verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Isn't that good? My lips shall rejoice when I sing unto the Lord. And what we find is that the glory of God, which never changes, which we're here to spread and to promote, if you will, is another source of our rejoicing. Not only the fact that we are trusting and loving Jesus Christ, who never changes, but we are also here to bring glory to God, which should bring rejoicing. Look at another example, Romans chapter 5, verse 2. This is from the life of Paul. Romans chapter 5, and verse 2, he says, by whom, he's talking about Jesus, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see the connection between rejoicing and the glory of God again? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The glory of God is infinite. We're here to lift him up. We're here to bring him glory in all that we say and do. And the more that we focus on the glory of God, the more that we will rejoice. The more that we focus on the one that we've loved and that we've trusted, the more we will rejoice. And then fourthly, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The end of your faith. Here he's talking about our hope. And so not only does our joy come from the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we love and trust, not only does it come from lifting up and promoting and getting closer to the glory of God, but it also comes from the hope that we have in our salvation, in Jesus Christ. The end of your faith, which we haven't received yet. He's talking about when we get to leave this earth, when we get to leave this pain, we get to leave this body, and we get to be with Jesus. That's our hope. And that hope should bring joy. And there's a lot of connections between hope and joy in the Scriptures. Let me give you some examples. Look at Romans 12:12. Just three little words there. But look what he said at the beginning of Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope. What's our hope? Our hope is that Jesus is coming again. Our hope is that He's paid for our sins and given us eternal life, and we get to spend forever with Him in heaven. That's our hope. Our hope is that we get to come back with Him from heaven and rule and reign with Him on the earth for 1,000 years. That's our hope. And God says, rejoicing in hope. While you're in Romans, again, look at chapter 15, 13, which we looked at the beginning of the sermon. But look what it says. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The more that we focus on our hope, the more we can't help but rejoice. The more we focus on Jesus, the one who we've trusted, the one who we love, the more we can't help but rejoice. The more we focus on the glory of God and lifting Him up and bringing Him glory, the more we can't help but rejoice with joy that is unspeakable. Now, the peace last week, God described in Philippians 4:7 as the peace which passeth all understanding. We can't explain it to the world, how we can have peace in our hearts in the midst of troubles and trials. But we also can't explain to the world how we can have joy unspeakable in the midst of trials and problems. That's because they don't have the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. You know, we learn more about this hope. We learn more about Jesus. We learn more about the glory of God the more time that we spend in here. Look at Psalm 19:8 quickly, if you would. Another song that we often sing. You know the chorus quite well. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Look at verse 8, 19:8 of Psalms. The statutes of the Lord are right. And what do they do? Psalm 19, verse 8. Rejoicing the heart. Isn't that good? The more time we spend in the Scriptures, the more time we spend learning about Jesus, about the glory of God, about our future hope, the more our heart will rejoice. Go to 1 John 1, verse 4. John said a similar thing. 1 John 1 and verse 4. He said, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I'm writing this epistle. He's just getting started in one of the most beautiful epistles, the epistle of 1 John, written to Christians. And he says, I'm writing these unto you that your joy may be full. And so the more time that we spend in here learning about Jesus, focusing on God's glory and not our problems, and being reminded about our amazing, precious hope that awaits us all that are born again, that we're going to see Jesus forever. He's coming to take us away. We have to rejoice. It is a choice. It's not automatic. If it was automatic, He would have commanded us to do it. We would just do it. But sadly, sin and others can sneak in there, the devil, and try to steal it away. And instead of rejoicing, you find yourself complaining, which is a sin. God wants us to live our lives not only with perfect peace, the peace that passes all understanding, but He wants us to live our lives, especially as we think about it this Christmas season, having joy, not only any joy, but joy unspeakable. Joy that we can't even explain, that comes straight from God Himself in the person of the Holy Ghost who indwells each one of us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I hope that every Christian can say, I have, beyond the shadow of a doubt, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I know I'm going to heaven. If you can't say that, you need to be able to say that. And that's why we're here. Please, talk to someone. Talk to me. Anybody, let us show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're born again. If you know you're born again, I hope that every Christian can say, and I live a life of perfect peace, filled with joy unspeakable. If you don't, it's not because it's not available. Amen? You have the same Holy Spirit that Paul had. You have the same Holy Spirit that all of us have. And He's there, ready to give you this peace, ready to give you this joy. But it's a choice. And you need to make sure that your focus isn't on your problems, but it's on Him and His glory and our future hope. If that's our focus, we will rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. What a blessing to be.